Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and my very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to you all as well, and it's a real blessing to be back on the air.
It is, and thank you so much for all your prayers and many kind words. I am still recovering from that terrible fall and femur break, but the light is very bright at the end of the tunnel, and every day is better than the day before.
God is surely good, and may you all be blessed by tonight's lesson, a refresher for many of you on the appointments that God made with all of us. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify, thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides protective strength, courage, stamina, and power that is so very much needed in these last days. We seriously pray for the hurting people of Ukraine, and we lift up to you our unsaved loved ones. May they encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that continually try to derail our focus on you. And Lord, we lay at your feet our recent prayer requests, many for miraculous healings. I thank you for my soon complete recovery, and may tonight's study glorify you. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, for the next 2 weeks, we will focus on the spring feast. Not in as much detail as we have in the past, but since Passover is coming soon, we also know it by incorrectly as the Easter season. But we're going to refresh your memory as to how Jesus so precisely kept his appointments so you can also share with others, particularly to a newer believer.
Should you want an even deeper teaching, just go to our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Right. Last year's radio archives has a four-week deeper study. But first, we have just a little time for some of the news.
Yeah, you know, it's so sad to watch the war in Ukraine.
Oh, it's really horrific. And we all pray it's over soon. But keep in mind, everything we are told isn't always as it seems. We know now, thanks to Hunter's laptop, there were bioweapon labs that we helped to fund near the Russian border that Putin knew would one day be let loose on his people. Russian news is saying the videos released to the public have been embellished. But more is coming out, and you can read a lot of this information on foreign news, as in the dailymail.co.uk. One thing for sure is we do know that it is helping to securely join the adversaries of Israel, Russia, Iran, China, Turkey, and even Germany. They are all part of that alliance to fulfill Ezekiel 38.
But after we leave.
Right.
Meanwhile, the sanctions aren't working much.
Well, because Russia, at a very low price, sells its gas now and its oil to our adversaries. So then we have to buy it from them at a higher rate, as in Venezuela, and with this new deal from Iran. And, you know, Saudi Arabia won't even answer Biden's calls for more oil. They're very angry about the Iran deal.
Which is really bad.
Yes. I go into a little more depth about this in our newsletter that just went out Saturday, by the way. And another thing is Russia is now selling oil in their own currency of the ruble. This will hurt the American dollar. But all in the plan to take us into digital currency and the cashless society that we know is coming.
Speaking of Israel.
Yes, some good news. They recently held an Abraham Accords meeting that went very well. They more secured their relationships with some anti-Iran countries, as in Egypt, Morocco, the UAE, and Bahrain. So even though Trump is gone, they are continuing their alliance with Israel, and they hope to add more countries.
However, Israel's terrorism is going up.
Well, especially now that the Muslim month of Ramadan has arrived.
And a quick thought about the United States?
Well, there's not enough time for that, except to say the gay agenda, which is getting much darker. Disney is a real disgrace. And the progressives, now they really want a gay president, as in the ex-mayor Pete Buttigieg. Because there is talk of somehow getting rid of Biden and Kamala, too. Stay tuned. But like Sodom and Gomorrah, the handwriting is on the wall.
Well, the signs are piling up.
And quickly.
All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our monthly newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And let me also add that your continued prayers and love offerings, especially now, are very much appreciated, and may God bless you for it.
Okay, 'tis the season for Leviticus 23.
Yes, probably the least read book in the Bible. So let's begin by reading what God, quite specifically, spoke to Moses in Leviticus 23, verse 2.
Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts.
Notice, he didn't say they're Jewish feasts. He says, my feasts. And there are seven of them. And here's what's really important. I emphatically continue to point out a very important truth, heavily missed in the English translation. The Hebrew word for feast is moed, number 4150, in your concordance, which literally means appointment.
So, feast equals appointments.
And the holy convocations is number 4744, mikra, which means our gatherings for rehearsal. So now, let's read it again with more clarity.
Okay. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsal gatherings, these are my appointments.
Wow. Saints of God, are you understanding this? Are you taking these words from the Abba Father into your spirit?
And more importantly, are you sharing it?
If this is your first time hearing about this, that verse alone should make you sit up and listen attentively. God himself gave written down specific appointments that he, through Jesus, would keep with all his people, and in fact, the whole world who is willing to accept it. So that means with you, too, especially knowing from Romans 11 that all his true believers have been grafted into the Jewish olive tree, and it's that root that supports believers today. Be sure to reread Romans 11, especially verse 18.
So, Christians share in the Jewish root system.
We sure do, but many choose to ignore that fact. Now, we obviously saw that Jesus, along with the Sabbath, has already filled the first four appointments, which is the gospel, the good news of our salvation.
And then Pentecost by sending us the Holy Spirit.
So all believers have been made beneficiaries of these kept appointments, and we will soon again benefit immensely with the fulfillment of his last three appointments surrounding his second coming, again very soon. And we do talk about that quite extensively every fall season.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tabernacles, and these teachings are also archived on our webpage.
Mm-hmm. Now, after teaching on the feast for over 25 years, finally, more Christians are beginning to wake up to the importance of these appointments, taking them more seriously. But unfortunately, there's still some churches that just think of them as being a Jewish thing, ignorant of the fact that we are spiritual Jews and that these are scheduled appointments made with all mankind to be kept by Jesus.
And as we just said, four have already seen their fulfillment.
Yes, and remember Ruth, who is the type of the bride? She said to her Jewish mother-in-law, you are now my people, and I will not go back to the way it was before. That should be our mantra. We must look at the Bible as a truly Judeo-Christian book and read it through redeemed Jewish eyes, not through the law anymore, but with absolute freedom and no legalism. And once you get this, you'll never go back looking at Scripture in the Western Gentile mode ever again.
But, you know, it takes time.
It can, but that amount of time really does depend on you. It's called maturing, or being of full age.
As Hebrew 5:14 commands us to grow.
So the Lord's Spring Feasts are the first three appointments that surround the first coming as a humble servant to pay our debt for all our sins.
Should you choose to accept it.
Right. Always one's choice. So first came Passover. They historically sacrificed an unblemished lamb called the blood sacrifice. Jesus became that lamb on their same day of Passover, Nisan 14. The next day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and leaven is always represents sin, so they ate unleavened bread for 1 week. The sinless unleavened Jesus fulfilled that too with his burial.
When he took our sins to the grave.
And then the Feast of First Fruits was the day of his resurrection, for he was the first fruits of the resurrection.
As confirmed in 1 Corinthians 15:23.
And then, yet again, 50 days later, at the end of the springtime, he fulfilled another promised appointment on the Feast of Pentecost by sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, which we will talk about at the end of May. And by the way, scripturally, must always be on a Sunday.
According to Leviticus 23:16.
Yes, very explicit.
Passover is always the same date on the Hebrew calendar, Nisan 14.
Mm-hmm, on the Hebrew calendar, which on our Gregorian calendar this year is April 15th at sundown till sundown the next day, which then immediately begins the week of unleavened bread. So in ancient days, and when Jesus walked, they would kill the lamb at exactly twixt the evening, or 3 o'clock, which is still the 14th of Nisan, until sundown. Well, imagine that. It was exactly 3 o'clock when Jesus' side was pierced, fulfilling to the very same hour his appointment with death as the sacrificial Lamb of God.
How do we know it was 3 o'clock?
Well, the Hebrew text says twixt the evening, for that is how they told time using the sundial, which would be halfway between the sun from its highest point in the sky, which is around noon, and the setting of the sun at evening, which is around 6. So that equals 3 o'clock.
So twixt the morning would be 9 a.m.?
Right, because it would be halfway between the sun rising and its highest point at noon. And twixt the morning was when they put Jesus on the cross.
Yes, he hung for 6 hours, and then his side was pierced at 3 o'clock.
That's right. So, both events, their spiritual sacrificial slaying of the lamb for their sins at the temple, and the slaying of Jesus when his side was pierced on the cross, just outside the temple area, for the sins of the whole world, were done simultaneously, the same hour, on Passover. What an amazing prearrangement set up by God. If Christians could just get a basic understanding of God's appointments, you can use this to evangelize many.
As well as help the church desire more of their Hebrew roots.
This alone is truly mind-boggling, how God so intricately arranged everything from as far back as the sin of Adam.
Scene by scene and line by line.
Even word by word. The right timing, the right places, and the right people.
Honestly, it really does take my breath away.
And it should. Utterly amazing. And just some clarification. The Jews refer to the whole 8-day season as the Passover season. But factually, only the first day is Passover. And that year was on a Wednesday from sundown to Thursday at sundown. And then immediately at sundown on Thursday began the 7-day feast of unleavened bread.
But the whole season is 8 days in length.
Yes, to include the Feast of First Fruits, which is always on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. And Jesus chose the Feast of First Fruits of their barley harvest to be resurrected.
For he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
That's right. Can't say that enough. We should also take a look at Palm Sunday on Nisan 10 on the Hebrew calendar, occurring 4 days before Passover.
And by the way, is this Sunday?
That's right. You know, in Exodus 12, God tells Moses to speak to all the congregation. And here's what he said.
On the 10th of this month, Nisan, every man shall take for himself an unblemished lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for each household. In verse 6, now you should keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it twixt the evening.
Again, would be 3 o'clock. So, 4 days before Passover, a young lamb was chosen, and then carefully examined it for 4 days to be sure it was blemish-free, checking every inch of skin and hair follicles.
Had to be perfect in every way.
And the size of the lamb should be fitting for the family also. Nothing is left over, which is yet another picture that Jesus gave all of himself for all of us.
Jesus was a sinless, young, unblemished lamb.
And he died for all. And there's another picture. He also was examined and questioned extensively in the temple.
And for 4 days.
Exactly. Remember on that Sunday, Jesus rode in on the donkey into Jerusalem as prophesied he would.
In Zechariah 9:9.
Exactly 4 days before his death that coming Thursday. So on Nisan 10, again Palm Sunday, he was examined by the Jews and the Romans for 4 days in the temple. And as recorded in John 18, Pilate concluded by saying, I find no blemish in him. These are the same exact words that are spoken every year after examining the animal lamb for 4 days, as was the biblical requirements. God set it all up.
Because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb of God.
Amen. You know, going back to Exodus 12 and their escape from Egypt, after the 4 days of the detailed examination of the family's lamb, again, now the 14th of Nisan on the first Passover in Egypt, the Hebrews were told to apply the blood of the sacrificed lamb to the doorposts, outlining it totally, even leaving the basin of blood left at the threshold.
So, totally outlined with the blood of the lamb.
Yes. And by doing so, the death plague could not touch their household as it would the firstborn of all others without the lamb's blood. Now, the first Passover was such an important typological, spiritual event that God even told Moses, as recorded in Exodus 12, to add a special calendar using the same names of the months, but now Nisan, also called Abib, could become the first month instead of the seventh. So, after Exodus 12, they would go by their new biblical calendar, beginning with Nisan as its first month.
So, they now have two calendars.
Yes, this new religious calendar and their first regular civil calendar that begins in Tishrei, commemorating the creation of Adam and the world. So, both first months, Nisan and Tishrei, would be extremely important. You might want to read Joel 2:23. For in just these 2 months, Nisan and Tishrei would contain 6 appointments of God.
With the 3 spring feasts in Nisan.
And the 3 fall feasts in Tishrei, with Pentecost being the only feast that stands all by itself 50 days after first fruits. So, for you deeper thinkers and gold nugget searchers, always know that when reading scripture after Exodus 12, and you come across a date that says in the second, in the third, etc. month, you begin to count from Nisan on the religious biblical calendar. But before Exodus 12, You only use the first or civil calendar, counting from Tishrei. This is a huge Hebraic Roots 101 piece of knowledge. Teachers especially should never forget this.
Or you'll never know what season it is.
Thereby not understanding why they might be doing or saying certain things. Here's the scripture, Exodus 12, verse 1.
Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
So, actually the two calendars, which is in this month's newsletter, by the way, is kind of like us. We have a date of our physical birth, and now we also have a date when you were born again into a new spiritual life. I keep a reference of the numbered months of both calendars that I have printed out and taped in the back of my Bible. It is extremely helpful in my studies. Again, you can cut it out of the current newsletter, where tonight's notes are written out for you as well.
Or print it from our webpage.
That's right. Passover is memorialized as the escape from Egypt slavery. But for all of us personally, it's a type of being of the world and a slave to sin. Passover is a time of remembrance for us as to what Christ did for you and me. A time of the removal of all our leaven, our personal sins, by his sacrifice as the unblemished, sinless Lamb of God. Leaven or yeast, as when used in bread, always expands and puffs up. So it is associated with sin, because like pride, it puffs up oneself.
So again, in Scripture, leaven is always a type of sin.
Yes, so each year prior to Passover, the Hebrews remove all the leaven from their houses as a picture of sin, soon to be removed from their souls when they sacrifice the lamb. Too many still don't see that Jesus is that lamb for anyone who wants to receive him. And according to John 19:30, after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, one of the last of his seven famous phrases he said, "It is finished," tetelestai in Greek, which means paid in full. These same words were written on parchment to all convicts when they had finished serving their time and their debts were paid in full. You see, there is a debt to pay for sins. That is unless you accept the free gift that Jesus paid for you by his death, thereby canceling your debt for all your sins. Why wouldn't anyone do that?
It is perplexing.
That's right. But the major question, have you accepted that gift? Or do you want to pay it all by yourself? In hell, I might add. Yeshua went through hell for you, but your choice, who pays? How well do you really know him? One more time. Jesus is your Savior who has paid your debt. Wake up. Wake up, sinner. Don't continue to be a fool. Jesus paid for your sins. If you choose to accept his free gift, do it now. Don't wait another moment. We don't know when you will breathe your last breath. No one does. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, talking about Jerusalem, shall prosper. And you shall prosper in many different ways. Sometimes you don't even understand just how much. And of course, you should always memorize Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, tell someone about Jesus. And make sure you grab your palms on Palm Sunday. And be blessed. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.